The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, welcome back. The final hour of our Juneteenth holiday show continues, and we'll have an update from you from Omaha. Auburn knocks out Stanford, one of the favorites to win it all. Auburn wins and advances. Stanford goes home with Texas. Meanwhile, we're an hour away from Ole Miss and Arkansas, so you can do the math. That side of the bracket is all SEC right now. We've had a lot of conversation about food. Somebody asked us earlier about restaurants, and we got into quite a culinary conversation. Let's get back to the calls and a man who has no time for food because he is a indoor heating and air engineer specialist. That is I-Man.
You got that right. You got that right. And that's real damn good at it, too. Oh, or damn eagle. How about them Auburn Tigers?
How about them?
Yeah. Played a hell of a game today. Ole Miss just had their number. That picture the other night was amazing. I've been in quarantine. I tested positive for COVID yesterday and today. But I've kind of got weathered through most of it.
A lot of aches and chills. And you feel okay?
Aches and chills. But outside of that, you know, I had the two shots about a year ago. But somewhere or another, I picked it up. But
Anthony Fauci tested positive for COVID, and he's had 27 shots. So,
yeah. And just go about your life, you know. Paul, that LSU game was probably the most electric game that I went to and saw personally in the stadium. And there was 5 interceptions, if you remember correctly.
Okay,
three
I did not touchdowns. Remember that. Yeah,
three for touchdowns, and then Auburn intercepted the 4th one and fumbled it, and LSU got the ball back.
Oh, I forgot that one.
And then, there was a 5th interception. LSU was thrown to the end zone, and Auburn intercepted and won the game. And the place blew up. I can't remember how many people were there, but a friend of mine, Danny, and I had gone up to the game, and he kept saying, man, I'm out of here. Let's go. And, I'm one for the zeros on the clock. And what would we have missed if we let that game when we left? Because they hadn't even got the first interception. And then everything unfolded like it did in the 4th quarter. And I'm sure that Auburn, that Jordan-Hare, Alabama was winning the ball game, and for whatever reason, they put the ball in the air. I don't know if it was a pitch to running back or something, as opposed to a handoff, and Auburn recovered a fumble and kicked a field goal and won the game. So I'm sure that place blew up that day too. You know, Paul, I was listening Friday, and Mitch, you know, he comes in here with his normal whine. And if I know so much about what a good caller is, why don't he teach me to be a good caller? Now, the way I see it, and I'm just doing basic math here. Alexander Graham Bell, it was a long, long time ago when he told his sidekick come in there and check him out, right? So all of your callers have grown up with a telephone of some sort. You pick the phone up, and you make a phone call. And if you don't know how to do that by now, this day and age, 2022, we're really in 2022. This ain't 1975, it ain't 76. We ain't partying like it's 99. We's in 2022. If you don't know how to use a phone by now, there's no help. And Paul, let's go back 150 years. All right. You know, you had the telegraph and the Pony Express. Let's just forget the telegraph, because telegraph wouldn't work too well on this show. But if Mitch was sending his messages by Pony Express, he's done wore them damn horses out with no name. He has rode them to death whining. And then, you know, Mitch, the only thing I can tell you is call in positive, put some bass in your voice, and don't apologize tomorrow. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. We hope our man feels better. I don't know. Is it my imagination, Randy? But once he said he'd tested positive, wasn't feeling well, I started feeling symptoms midway through that call. Just a thought. Kevin is up next. Hello, Kevin.
Oh. Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
This is kind of random, but you know when your show comes back on, you have that SEC song and so forth, and then you're in the like the Texas A&M kind of Yale leader outfit, and you're carrying something white, and you throw it, and everybody goes crazy. What exactly are you throwing?
Okay.
What happened? What is that?
I'm trying to remember.
I know it's random, but you throw something, it hits the ground, and then you start jumping up and down, and everybody starts jumping down, clapping, and then everybody's going crazy, and I'm like, what is that he's throwing?
Okay. Now, there's two things that you may be thinking of. One, I'm with the Texas A&M Yale team. And then yes. I'm jumping up and down and acting like a moron, and they pick me up.
You throw stuff, and it might be a helmet or something, a football helmet. Maybe?
Yeah, what you're talking about there is this year, it was the first SEC Nation of the year on the road. We were at the Texas-Arkansas game, and I was the last person to pick, and there was a huge crowd, and I was back and forth because I think it was a pretty tight game going in, and we had these mannequins, and I was trying to figure out, am I strong enough to throw the entire mannequin? And I was afraid if I picked the mannequin up and fell over, it was going to be a scene I'd never. So I, as somebody else was, like Tebow or one of those guys was calling it, I gently moved the helmet up a little bit. So I walked over, and it was my turn. I'm hemming and hawing, Arkansas, Texas. I picked up the helmet, and I flung the helmet into the parking lot, and the crowd went crazy.
Oh, okay.
Now, the funniest part of that, and Sam Pittman jokes with me every time I see him, people at the University of Texas did not have a sense of humor. They sent ESPN a bill for $385 saying I ruined the helmet. Now tell me this, you put a helmet on a player in a college football game and he's going at it with other players. We're trying to show the video here. This is the video right now. That would be Laura Rutledge in the middle. And that's me throwing the helmet.
Right. I see it every time and I never can figure out what exactly is taking place there.
Looks like somebody's head. ESPN ended up coughing up $385 because Texas did not have a sense of humor.
Okay. Well, that's a random question I just had, but I have two questions to ask you real quick. Yep. There it goes. If I can,
of course.
One is are you there?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Kevin, quick, don't worry about the TV. Yep. You're talking just to worry about what you're hearing on the phone.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about mention real quick, the Ruth Chris Steakhouse in Jacksonville, Florida. Best steaks ever. And it's in the basement of the, Hilton DoubleTree Hotel. And it overlooks the St. John River. It's beautiful where the landing used to be. And then another comment I want to say is I think Thursday or Friday, some caller called in with rapid fire questions for you. And one of the questions was, do you think Georgia will make it to the college football playoff?
I believe I said they wouldn't.
You said no, right? You said no. Just curious, who do you feel is going to beat Georgia? Who do you think is going to beat us?
Alabama.
To not allow us to get there. Okay, but do you think that one loss will keep Georgia out of the playoffs?
It depends. I mean, I know that this year, obviously, it would not have. So that would be the one loss I say for sure. I can't, in all candor, I can't find another loss right now. Doesn't mean it won't happen. But I mean,
me either.
Yeah.
You've
raised a really good
Clemson's
question.
Be better than Georgia?
And maybe I haven't made any final determination. I was just kind of, it was a rapid fire question. I'm going to go back and revisit that one because now that I look at the schedule, that one loss may not be enough.
Right, and then I don't think Clemson's going to be as good as Georgia at all. And isn't it the committee's responsibility to find the four best teams, regardless?
I think Clemson's got a chance to make it this year, but they would have to be undefeated, though. Let's see if we can find a team that will beat Clemson at Georgia Tech. Well, that's a killer. Furman, Louisiana Tech, at Wake Forest. I don't think Wake Forest will be as good. I would say their toughest game is going to be either at Notre Dame or Miami at home.
Right.
And then they'll play. And then they'll play a high school, I think, in the ACC championship game.
Right. I think maybe Notre Dame. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Listen, you've given me something to think about, Kevin. So I accept what you've said, and I am going to regroup. How about that?
Absolutely. And thank you for telling me about the helmet you threw. Now when I see that every time, I'll laugh and know exactly what's taking place.
Happy
Thanks
to.
For taking my call, Paul.
Yeah, you bet. And by the way, I didn't pay for it. If I had had to pay for it, I would have been more than happy to. If they had said you have to pay for it, I was going to call Sam Pittman, and we were going to raise enough money to pay for that and enough money to send something more back to the University of Texas. But we have to be nice to Texas right now, don't we? I mean, they're future SEC members, so we won't treat them like we really want to. We'll take a break. Okay, I heard you. Yeah, there's somebody right off stage telling me, do not criticize Texas. We love Texas, right? We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Scott is up next in Orange Beach. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Paul. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Paul, I was wondering about a caller from many years ago, not from the early days in Birmingham, but sometime just after that. She was the sexiest caller that ever graced the Paul Feinbaum Show, Mildred.
Mildred is probably the most misunderstood caller in the history of the show, and there's a lot of reasons for that. And some of them are topical right now. Mildred was
wondering if you knew what happened.
Yeah, I do. Quick story. Mildred, this lady called Mildred. She was in her 80s, maybe even older. And she claimed to once have dated Bear Bryant. Dated would be a really inaccurate description of their relationship. And she had this crazy, I mean, she would get very graphic. One night, a guy was up at the studio, and he happened to be in the business, so to speak. He'd been in coaching and had been on staffs. And he disappeared into the other room for a minute. And we found out that he was Mildred. And I don't mean to make a political statement here by a man pretending to be a woman, but he called a few more times, and finally I called him. I said he'd gotten so crude that we were really in danger of putting our license in jeopardy. So we finally put an end to it.
I always wondered about that, who that was, if it was a joke or not. I used to love it when she would talk about how much she enjoyed her time with Coach Dye and Coach.
Yeah,
Stallings.
She also had a relationship with Coach Dye, but I was since Coach Dye is more recently gone, I was sparing him that indignity.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I would say I think it's entirely possible we could get Mildred back for an encore appearance.
That would be fantastic.
Okay, we'll work on it. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have you seen this Lane Kiffin tweet from – is this one from yesterday, or is this a new one? Lane heading to Omaha. Got the whole family. Is those these two kids there?
There's like five kids.
And the golf coach. So Lane heading to Omaha. He tweeted yesterday about Saban and Kirby on Father's Day. Let's check in with – Handsome Joe up next. Hello, Joe.
Roll Tide, roll Paul Feinbaum. And it's good to know that, you know, that the future Alabama coach is going to Omaha to support the Ole Miss, you know, baseball team. I mean, but that's cool. I mean, anybody don't like Lane Kiffin, Paul? He's not the same Lane Kiffin from the old days from Tennessee and USC. I don't know how anybody can not like him, you know, unless you're, you know, Tennessee won't throw golf balls at him or something, but, you know, hey, he's pretty good. And there's a couple of things I want to talk about, Paul. I mean, Lane Kiffin ain't one of them, even though, you know, I love the guy. He's good. Paul is a good coach, and I think he's the second best in the SEC, in the country, in fact, as far as that goes. But I-Man hit on something about Mitch, and I-Man is exactly right. Mitch was saying, well, I-Man, if I'm not making a good call, show me how. I-Man's been showing him how for years. And it just can't pick up on. I mean, I don't know how many more years of training Mitch needs. Because I mean, he's a classic, Paul. He's one of the best you got on this show. And I-Man don't have to show him anything new whatsoever. And the second thing I want to talk about, because y'all been talking about a lot of groceries and eating places. And, hey, you know, we don't have a lot of the places here in Red Bay to eat. But, hey, my number one spot is the deli at the Piggly Wiggly. And not just me, Paul. I mean, you know, Red Bay's like a motorhome city. We got these people coming in from all over the country, and they
now,
love
for those
it,
who don't know, the Piggly Wiggly is a grocery store, right?
Right, but they have a deli.
Yeah, sure.
And their deli, it's a lot of good home cooked.
Handsome Joe, let me ask you this. I know you called us on Valentine's Day and you were cooking steaks on the grill, and we all know what happened there. So let's say you and a lady or a friend or whatever, you want to take this person out for a special night. Where would you go? Would you go to the deli at the Pig?
No. Okay. Not on the date.
Okay.
I'll probably go to Riccatoni's in Florence. That's one of the best, nicest restaurants in the city of Florence, Alabama.
Now, how far a haul is it from Red Bay to Florence?
45, you know, minutes to an hour, depending on how fast you drive.
In Red Bay, you'd have to drive an hour for a five-star meal.
Yeah, you probably would, Paul. But you know, I don't date girls from here, so normally if I go up there, which that's where my lady friend lives in Florence. Okay. I mean, they've got a whole lot more choices up there.
Yeah, Florence. First of all, when you go to Florence, you've got a river there. You've got Florence. You have Sheffield. You have Muscle Shoals. You got something else. I can't remember. Tuscumbia, right.
Tuscumbia.
Got four cities right there. It's like, forget the twin cities. You got the quad cities.
Right. And any kind of grocery you can think of, including a Red Lobster, if that's what you like.
Yeah.
But, I mean, pretty much any kind of restaurant you want is up
so
there.
So, Handsome Joe, your lady's in Florence. Is that what you're telling us?
Right. And always let the lady pick what she wants to eat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what determines where you take her to. I mean, if she wants to eat Mexican or Chinese, or
I can tell you, you this, Joe, in more than 30 years of marriage, I've never chosen a restaurant yet. There's no reason to.
No, you don't do that. Not with a lady present. You always let her, because if you don't, Paul, if you pick your own restaurant, hey, she ain't going to be with you long.
Right.
Especially the ones I would take her to.
Can you go to Smoothie King for your anniversary meal? I don't think so.
If that's what she wants, yes.
Yeah, that's probably
that's
more
what
I
know.
She wouldn't want to go there. That's probably anyway. So Joe, I'm really so. How often do you now? Now Florence Muscle Shoals. We're talking about one of the music capitals of America, right there.
That's right, Paul. And you know what? You can be out in a restaurant and look over to the next table, and you're liable to see anybody in the music industry sitting right by you. I've met several groups of the group Alabama in there, because, you know, part of them are songwriters also. And they get together, and they go out. But it's nothing to just look over and see, you know, like Marty.
Joe, I went up to, it's been about 10 years. I went up to Randy Owen, invited me to his golf tournament, which was up in at the hotel there, whatever the Marriott, the Roberts. I can't remember what the name of the golf course was. But that night, he had a bunch of songwriters perform. And it was one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen. And I didn't know who any of them were, other than he played, of course. But most of these guys had written, and they all played their songs. And you can imagine, I mean, we're talking about number one hits from 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and contemporary.
Hey, that's right, Paul. I mean, it's loaded with songwriters. There's so many people here that's in Muscle Shoals in Florence. They write songs, and I mean, there's been like big time bands that's come in here.
Oh, everybody! You know? I mean, literally, Joe. They did a what was that? Muscle Shoals was a documentary a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, Joe. I mean, there's hardly. I mean, from the Beatles on to the Stones to Skinner to everyone imaginable. They have been Aretha Franklin. They have been in Muscle Shoals. We'll take a short break. We have 30 minutes remaining, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Catch 98 Thursday at 7 p.m. And we'll talk to Tamika that afternoon. And we're back to your phone calls here. And let's check out Dave in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Well, hi, Paul.
Hey.
Good to hear from you again.
Thank you.
And and thanks for the kind word you said about Peggy the other day. But anyway, what I want to talk about is food. But me, Peggy, Payne Stewart, and the gal that he was dating at the same time, we would go to Jim's Steakhouse. It's the best place to go in Springfield. If you're ever in Springfield, I got about $200 worth of gift cards to Jim's.
Oh, please.
And I would take you there.
I had one of my best friends back in the day was from Springfield. We used to work together at the newspaper. So how did you know Payne?
Oh, well, when he was an amateur, we would go there in Kansas City in Overland Park, and he would say, pick out whatever you want in this store. Well, I wasn't a golfer, because you heard the story about me dragging my dad's golf clubs all over the place the other day for Father's Day. I love him, by the way. Loved him. But anyway, I knew Payne through Charlotte, and we would go into these stores, like I said. He goes, pick out what you want. Well, I wasn't a golfer, but I'd pick out some polo shirts, stuff like that. And he goes, it's free. That's how they used to pay the amateurs, you know.
Oh, wow.
And, that's how I knew Payne. We had a lot of good stories, a lot of fun together. And I do have some incriminating pictures, too, by the way. But, it was just a good time. And I thought I'd bring up Payne and Jim's Steakhouse. If you're ever in Springfield, I know it's not a big sports place, but it is the home of Brad Pitt and Kathleen Turner and John Goodman and Dabs Greer.
I didn't realize that.
People like that.
Well, I tell you I am going to put best to Peggy. I'm going to put Springfield, Mizzou. You want to go there?
Sure.
Got a free meal.
I heard
it's only about 1,000. Probably take us about 14 hours to drive there, but we could have a good meal.
Yep.
Freddie is up next in Philadelphia. Hello, Freddie.
Hello. First of all, love your show. Love what
you're
about. Love how you represent not only the South, but just ESPN in general. I'm a fan of yours, and thank you for the work you do. Okay.
Thank you.
Now. Two things. One, I travel for my job. I speak at colleges for a living. Like, I speak on mental health and addiction, so I can speak on the food thing. But there's two things I want to get to. First thing I want to get to is these NIL deals to me is a joke. And here's why. I think our priorities and what we care about in college football is absolutely despicable. And here's why I'm saying it. As a person that travels and speaks to schools and deal with athletes and talk to administrators, what bothers me about this whole NIL deal, and I'm surprised that Saban and the other guy, Jimbo and them, got into it out loud and personal, is because all NIL deal did was expose the reality of how players get to schools. Not all. But the other thing of it, too, is when are we going to start having oversight with these issues? Like, okay, we want to talk about NIL deals. When are we going to start talking about the oversight of these referees? Because some of these games that I've watched and some of the calls that I see, especially with targeting and these other things, is absolutely disgraceful. And what makes me mad is there's no consequence. There's no punishment. That's one thing, and I want to get your opinion on that. Second thing is fast food. Now, I told you I speak at schools for a living. Like, that's how I feel my family. I'm blessed to do it. I am an only child, and growing up, the only thing that my mom allowed me to get away with, I was raised old school, Christian, Baptist, all that. The only thing she let me get away with kind of was food. I'm telling anybody, I stand on this. The best food that I have ever had in my life was a barbecue place in the middle of the woods in South Carolina. That was one. The second place that I've ever ate at was Louisiana, and the place in Louisiana was in Shreveport. They had the best donuts, the best gumbo, and the best fried alligator that I have ever. And I didn't been everywhere. I've been blessed. I didn't travel all around. The best food that I ever had. And everybody says, oh, Oklahoma, no. Texas, no. Listen to me. The best barbecue that I've ever tasted in my life was you called and they answered the phone. I said, how I like this? They said, oh, no. We tell you what we have less, and this is what we got. So, bless you, thank you, and I just want to get your opinion on all that.
Thank you very much, Freddie. I lived there briefly. I never had the fried alligator. As far as NIL.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's an evolving and a revolving door. I don't think it's going to be solved, and I think at some point, I think most experts believe it is going to implode. Now, what happens after it implodes is really the story, not the fact that it's going to. It is. Scott is in Memphis. Hello, Scott.
Paul, thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thank you.
I called you a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about my father during the Second World War and the invasion of Normandy, which
right.
you mentioned. I just want to tell you something. My father came home from the Second World War and he went to Georgia Tech. And you were talking about Manuel's Tavern. My sister said, you have got to tell him this story. And so I'm going to be brief.
Sure.
Manuel's Tavern is in Virginia Highlands and it's not too far from Georgia Tech, which was my father's school. And my dad used to go to Happy Herman's, which is on Cheshire Bridge Road in Atlanta, and they used to get all their fixings, go to Georgia Tech games. They'd end up at Manuel's Tavern. Sue Maloof, who was the niece of Manuel Maloof, she was the best friend to my mother. They were both psychologists. And by the way, this place was incredible. The people that would come in there, Paul, let me tell you something. There was people that would come in there, and they used to have a sign up there, and it could be where the lowest to meet a doctor's sit there and have drinks and stuff. It was incredible, absolutely incredible. And so I just wanted to share this, but Virginia Highlands, Manuel's Tavern, is the greatest bar ever in Atlanta.
Well, Scott, I appreciate you saying that. And I it's been way too long since I've been there, but I am definitely going to check it out. Memphis has a few cool places as well. Thank you very much for the call. Somebody just we said today that Auburn won, which guarantees the SEC of having a team in the finals again. I mean, that was not really a surprise, but pretty good chance of two being in. I think it was Scott Dellinger just pointed out. So the SEC's got now guaranteed a team in the College World Series final. This will be the 13th out of the last 14 years. In football, a little bit better, 15 out of the last 16. And three times during that stretch has it been an all-SEC final. We will take a break. Still time for you to get in here at 855-242-7285. We are back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
And welcome back. Your last chance to get in on this holiday night, and the number is 855-242-7285. Shane is up next in Georgia. Hey, Shane.
Hey, Paul. How are you, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
Hey, do you ever get tired of people asking you that, Paul?
No, because, I think one thing you and not to get too deep in the weeds, but you realize that everyone is not watching the show. Or listening for 4 hours, you realize that people are normally courteous. So it's just common that we do it. It really only bothers me when somebody says, I know this is a 1500th time you've been asked this today. And then at that point I go, well, why did you ask me? But other than that, it doesn't faze me.
It was during the whole commercial break. I was like, all right, I'm not going to ask him how he's doing.
But isn't it? I mean, hey, isn't Paul? It common though? You get home and you. I mean, you even though like let's say you've talked to your wife or your kids or your husband an hour earlier, you go, "Well, how's everything going?" Like, it hasn't really changed, but that's just the way we are. Did I ever ask you how you are?
No, I
never asked Randy. I know he's doing great.
Hey, Paul, I'd like to talk to you about Georgia for a second. I'm just curious on what your take is, but I hear a lot of talk on other sports talk stations about how Georgia's going to take a step back, but I'd like to argue against that. I think that Georgia's defense is going to be they're going to take a little bit of a step back. I think. I mean, how could?
Well, there's
you,
nowhere they can. So
all that talent.
Unless they're the best defense of all time, they're taking a step back.
But yeah, of course. But I would argue that they're going to take a step back for maybe the first 6 to 8, maybe 9, 10 games. By the time that, towards the season's end, this team, what people don't realize, Paul, is that this team on defense has a lot of players coming back. You know, Robert Beal, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Christopher Smith, Tyke Smith, William Poole, Keely Ringo. These guys are coming back. And not just that, but the guys that are subbing in or that were subbing in last year, that Kirby gives his players a lot of reps, so even the freshmen coming in. So I would argue that, hey, I think you're overstepping your bound. I think you're oversleeping on Georgia's defense and how good they're going to be. But I think it's probably going to take most of the year. But let's go to the offense for a second. Paul, you look at the tight end room, for example. You got 4 5-star tight ends that are coming in. You got Arik Gilbert. You got Brock Bowers. You got Darnell Washington. You got Oscar Delp. You got 2 or 3. The offensive line, for example, I think is going to be much, much better than what it was last year. And they were pretty good, not great, but pretty good last year. But I think the offensive line is going to be superior, an elite group. along with probably the best position group in college football in the tight end room, and then go to the receivers. You got guys like A.D. Mitchell and Ladd McConkey, and you got guys coming in that hadn't played in a couple years that had been hurt that were dynamic in their freshman year in Don Blaylock. I just think people are sleeping on the Georgia Bulldogs, Paul, and I know this may get tired, but I think the Georgia Bulldogs are going to be an elite football team this coming up year. What do you think?
I believe so, too. And, you know, I mentioned the other day I didn't think they were going to the playoffs, and then this caller called me on it. And I started to think, and I'm like, they're not going to lose. So even if they lose to Alabama and are fortunate that nobody – that you don't have a bunch of undefeated teams – they would likely still get there. Hey, thank you very much. You should cover Georgia. You know more about them than a lot of people. Appreciate it. Let's check out Jeff in South Carolina. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
We're so amped up and ready for college football, sitting in the pool this weekend in Greenville. And I'm a Gamecock alum, graduated with Todd Ellis and the great Harold Green, and got to watch Sterling Sharp play college football when I was at USC. But I'm going to talk about one of the first games that's getting ready to start the season off on August 27th, the Austin Peay Governors out of Clarksville, Tennessee, against Western Kentucky. And I want your take on who's going to win that ball game. I was born and raised in Clarksville. And the Governors have always – they're trying to build the program up and make it a good program. But and also your thoughts on Spencer Rattler and what he's going to produce at Carolina.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I've always been an Austin Peay fan, primarily because of one thing. They had they had the great basketball player 30 years ago, or maybe longer, 40 years ago, named Fly Williams, and their chant was, let me see if I get this right. The fly is open. Let's go pee. Was that it?
That sounds right.
Or let's go pee. One of the two, I really don't remember. It's only been 40 years. But you can't help but like a program like that. How about Sean is up next. Hey, Sean, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
All right. The best college atmosphere definitely is Death Valley, is Clemson. On a Saturday afternoon.
It's good.
Coming down the hill, it's no doubt the best.
I would say. By the way, the it's called "Fly is Open, Let's Go Pee." That was the slogan. I would say if you had to pick, and this is just too crazy to even. If you had to pick one thing that is probably one of the most exciting things to watch, it is the bus landing at the hill and the players walking into the stadium. I mean, that is pretty dramatic. I will give you that. I've been to a couple of games at Clemson, and it's hard to find anything more dramatic, especially as the sun is setting at dusk for a big game, whether it's Carolina, South Carolina, or Florida State, or whatever it is. Betty is in Texas. Hello, Betty.
Hello.
Hi.
Am I on the show?
Yes, you are. Thank you for calling.
Okay. I just wanted to ask Mr. Feinbaum, and I'm a regular watcher, old lady, old as dirt. Love college football.
Yes, ma'am.
And college sports mostly, more so than pros. But anyway, I was watched day after day after day when Mr. Fisher kept saying, "I'm staying in Texas." Hello, Mr. Feinbaum.
Yeah, Betty, I think you're a little confused with the TV, but I think I understand your question. You're asking about all the rumors.
Why, if I don't think that Mr. Feinbaum might, I know it'd be very difficult to do, but some kind of an explanation of why they continued on the show to insist that Jimbo was going to be going to LSU.
Yeah, Betty, let me jump off. We only have a couple of seconds. The reason why is that there were people in Baton Rouge who were telling folks that he was still coming. I know what he said, and I know what his athletic director said, but that's the real part. That real story has not been revealed yet, but it will be. We'll take a break for 20 hours. Have a great night.